Now then, the way to go beyond what I have done is you get in the Word and start praying and standing on God's Word yourself, and then you can go beyond where He has trained me. That is, unless I'm digging in, climbing that mountain faster than you are. If I'm digging faster than you are, Dan, you can't get there quicker than me. Right? That's what I want to dig, don't you, Joseph?
Right on.
That's right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's exactly right. So I want my faith to be strong forever, and I want to please the Lord. Verse 9 and 10. How we thank God for you, because of you we have great joy in the presence of God. Night and day we pray earnestly for you. I wouldn't even ask you to hold up your hand how many of you pray every day and night, because some of you don't. Some of you don't pray at all during the day. Some of you don't even say thank you over your food. You know, that should never be for a Christian. We should never sat down to do anything except we pray. We should pray about everything. I mean, you talk about being in the Word this last week. First of all, Wednesday, Dave and I went to Odessa. And of course, I studied the Word before I left. And then when I got there, I studied the Word. And then the next morning, I was in the studio early and I taught the Word of God for 5 30-minute shows. So that's 2.5 hours. And then we went live and we had a two-hour show live. And I did most of the teaching, scripture, talking, and everything else. And then we went out to eat that night. And that night, guess what we all talked about at dinner? The football game. Y'all believe that? No. What football game? We talked about the Word of God. So we were in the Word of God until 10 or 11 o'clock at night that night. In fact, I guess I was in it till 1:20. I finally called Cheryl. She said, call me before you go to bed. And so I'm laying there in bed trying to study. And I guess I dropped off for a nap. And I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, I better call her before I drop off and go to sleep. And so I called her. And she said, what are you doing still up? I said, well, what time is it? She said, 1:20 in the morning. Okay, honey, I'm sorry I called you 1:20 in the morning. I didn't look. I just called. So I said good night, and then I pulled a sheet up and went to sleep. And the next morning, 7 o'clock, I got up and went down and had breakfast. And we started again, and we taught the Word of God all day long. You know, we did 5 30-minute shows the day before, and today we done up to 14. So, you know, we were busy till 4 o'clock. And finally, after we got the 14th show done, the 5 the first day and the rest of them the next day, I told Dave, I said, I am talked out. You know? So I said, we're going home. I need a break. So we came home, and it was nice. You know, we get in the airplane. We climb up to, I think, 11-5. We went up there, and it's nice and beautiful and smooth, and it was perfect day. Going out there, it was IFR, like he said. We had to fly in the clouds and all kinds of stuff, and we flew right under those storms, just like he said. I didn't know he was praying, but I thought, wow, we're going to miss them. We're going to fly right under him. He said, yeah, I'm praying. What are we supposed to pray about?
Everything.
With?
Thanksgiving.
And the Lord hears our prayer. And he can open up that window, just like Dave said. We flew right through that little window right there, and all those big old bad storms, which were showing up on our computer, and all of them right out to the left, we could see it raining, lightning, and everything. We're just in smooth, beautiful air flying right along beside them, right underneath that big old overhang. And it is beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful to be able to do that. But, you know, with the equipment we've got that God has given us, we know exactly where the storms are. And so there's not any problem. I just stand in awe of what he's given us to in these last days. Great joy in the presence of God. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill up anything that may still be missing in your faith. Is that why we come to church? To get our faith filled up? Yeah, that's part of why we come. We come for fellowship and also to hear the Word taught so we can get our faith increased so we can go out this week and do great things for the kingdom of God. Right, Scott? Amen. We want to do something good for Jesus. 11 and 12. May God Himself, our Father and our Lord Jesus, make it possible for us to come to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows toward you. Now, that's something that we all need to work on, is our overflowing love. Some of us don't even have overflowing love for the spouse that we're married to. Is that true? For some of us, I said, I'm not very many of us, but there is some that has no overflowing love. I mean, I think of the people that does not spend any time with their children. when they're raising them up, they're always busy. They don't have time to help them. Can't help them with their home studies. You do it. I don't have time. I mean, this is really bad with fathers. I've seen so many dads that the little girl or the little boy comes in, "Dad, I'm having trouble with this math. Can you help me?" He says, "Son, I ain't got time. I've got my own problems. You just have to work that out yourself." And then you wonder when the kid gets grown, he never comes to see you. You get to be old, you know, one day, and the grandkids, he never brings them to see you. You think, wow, I never had time for them, I guess, when I was raising them, so now they ain't got time for me. You know, you reap what you sow. Y'all know that? If you sow love, it's going to come back. It can't fail because God's the one said it. I was reading in some of those scriptures I was teaching out there. I just stand in awe at the number of people that says, you know, God would never afflict a child because of my sin. And I always have to take them to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And we read that where David committed adultery with a woman he wasn't married to. And so the Lord struck the child with sickness for 1 week, and then the child died. And it says clearly that the Lord did that. And then when you go back and read the curses and the blessings, you go back and you read the curses, and it says, now then, because you did not obey me and did not do what I said in my word, you did not keep my commandments, you will build a new home, but you will not live in it. Somebody else will live in it. Then he says, you will be engaged to a wife, and somebody else will sleep with her. You won't ever get to sleep with her. I thought, how many people does that happen to today? Multitude. It happens all over. But for those that obey him, you don't ever have to worry about your wife or your husband sleeping with somebody else. They won't ever do it. As long as you're both in the book together, walking obedient to his word and doing what he says, you're not under the curse, and you will never have to worry about your mate sleeping with somebody else. If they do, they won't live long. God will just kill them. Isn't that something? He'll just kill you. He said he would in his word. Wow. And may the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows toward you. That's where we should all live as Christians. Verse 13. As a result, Christ will make your heart strong. He'll make it blameless and holy when you stand before God, our Father, on that day when our Lord Jesus comes with all those who belong to him. Now then, if we had that love and we demonstrate that love, it says, after you've done all that, as a result of that, Christ will make your heart strong. In other words, you don't have to worry about nothing. He's going to make your heart strong. He's going to do that for you. You will be blameless and holy when you stand before God our Father on that day. I cannot fathom the fact to think, and I know many men that meets this criteria I'm fixing to tell you about. These men have run around on their wives most of their life. And some of the wives know it, but they've not left them because they needed a place of security. They really didn't want to be there, but they needed a place of security. They needed a home. They needed money to eat and do all this. And so they were willing to put up with the nonsense of their husband, continuing to obey him, submitting to him, knowing he's living in sin. I'm going to tell you what, the day's coming when that man's going to get his due. How would you like it to be one of those men and then you die early, you know, 60, 50. And then you stand before the king and he says, "I never knew you." Into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine that? No. See, I can't either, but there's a multitude of them that's like that. Christ will make your heart strong, blameless, and holy when you stand before God our Father on that day when our Lord Jesus will come with all those who belong to him. And that day may not be very far off. Isn't that something? Let's go to the next chapter. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you're doing this already, and we encourage you to do so more and more. For you remember what we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 and 4. God wants you to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? In other words, he wants you to be without sin. You know, most of us don't even think that we can do that. that we can be without sin. But that's the goal all throughout this book, is that the Christians walk without sin. Because God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Now, look at this. How much sexual sin? None. All. Look what he has to say about this. Verse 4, then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor. Let's see what verse 5 says. Not in lustful passions as the pagans do in their ignorance of God and his ways. And look at this verse. Verse 6. Never cheat a Christian brother in this matter by taking his wife. I just stand in awe at the number of Christians. I stand in awe at the number of pastors that I've seen that have messed with their secretaries and all kinds of stuff. And they obviously don't have a clue what this book says, because look what this says here. Never cheat a Christian brother in this manner by taking his wife, for the Lord avenges, how many? All such sins as we have solemnly warned you before. In other words, if there's a sexual sin, who's going to avenge it? The Lord himself. I just tell you what, I can't even imagine being turned loose under the living God for him to judge me for a sexual sin. I can't even imagine that. I don't know about you, but I hated it when my daddy gave me a spanking at home with a razor strap. I can only imagine what being judged by the king for a sexual sin would be. So I'm telling you, when people in the church commit sexual sins, they don't believe what this book says. They do not believe it. I mean, yeah, if you've committed a sexual sin and you haven't been, if you're still alive and you're not dead yet, it would be a good time to repent of that sin if you haven't repented of that sin. You know that, wouldn't it, Dan? He says, I've been waiting for this day. And, you know, isn't it a good thing God is patient and long-suffering and kind and gentle and loving and all those good things? Because, you know, as many men and women in the church that I know that have committed a sexual sin and then told me they committed a sexual sin after they became Christians, if we didn't have a loving, kind God, how many of those people would be alive?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled God Has Called Us to Be Holy, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.